You'll turn with me in your Bibles this morning to Luke chapter number 10. We'll be starting at verse number 38. Luke chapter number 10, verse number 38. The Bible says, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village," I'm talking about Jesus, "and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her.'" Let us pray. Amen. Yeah, we're coming up on Thanksgiving. There's a lot of preparations that are made. You got guests over at the house. You want things just right. You bring out those decorations, those arrangements. You set them out on the table, right? You cook the turkey. Does everybody still cook a turkey? Maybe you get it fried. If you're going to take it to the VFW, make sure you get in early on it. If you're going to get your turkey fried at the VFW, because the later it gets, the more iffy it gets. Some of y'all may get that. Some of you may not. But this time of year, we make a lot of preparations for Thanksgiving. And here, Jesus is in Bethany, and he comes to a certain woman's house named Martha, and she receives him into her house. She's privileged. She's grateful to have Jesus come and visit her at her house. And as he's there, presumably with the disciples, and they sit there, and Jesus begins to teach. Because everywhere he went was a teaching opportunity. He knew his time was short. He knew he only had 3.5 years on this earth. He knew what was going to happen to him. So he begins to teach, and Martha's sister Mary is sitting there at his feet and listening. But Martha wants everything to be right. She's in the kitchen and she starts preparing. She doesn't pull out sandwiches. She doesn't pull out a slice of ham or something like that. Well, they're not going to have ham, right? We're talking about Jews under the law. But she gets out the best food. She gets out the best serving ware. She sets it out for them. We try to stay doctrinally correct here. Amen. But she sets out the best place settings, and she wants to honor Jesus Christ with her service. She wants to do everything that she can. And as she's working, it occurs to her as, man, she's pulling down cups, and she's setting up, and she's over here and reaching for this and reaching for that. And she finds that she's walking over to the refrigerator and walking over to the stove, and she looks out there, and there is Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. Well, she should be helping me. This just isn't right. I'm just painting the picture here, but she looks out and she gets kind of upset about that. And she goes out there and says, "Lord, don't you care that my sister's not helping me?" And Jesus said, "She's chosen the better part. She's chosen the part that shall not be taken away." He said, "You are cumbered about with many things." See, this happens a lot in our churches, in our lives. We set our own standard on how we want things to be. I'm not going to make this a materialistic sermon, but I mean, we set up our standard, our idea of how things ought to be. In church, you may volunteer for a task. You may volunteer to do something. And I've seen people step up to volunteer for cooking and get left alone with it. I've seen people that want things just so, want things just right, and they get mad at other people because they're not joining them, because they're not helping them. The truth is, and I got to be careful with this because I'm not trying to create lazy people, because we need Martha. But sometimes Mary just needs to sit at the feet of Jesus. We were talking about this morning, and some of y'all were ready to say amen and go home because this was coming from the sermon. But we talked about working in the church, and we talked about how people get caught up in working and how they tie their service, they tie their relationship to God with their works that they're doing for the Lord. Do you understand that? I hope y'all understand better than I do. She was cumbered about with much serving. Sometimes burdens are self-inflicted, our own highest standards, everything to be perfect. Sometimes we structure things so that only we can do them. I remember when at a Lighthouse, me and Matt working in the sound booth and working on the website and stuff like that, there was one requirement that we set when we were setting things up. It's like somebody has to be able to come in behind us and do this. But have you ever been to the place where only that one person knows how to do everything? And they can't understand why they can't get help. They're always there, and it's like, I always have to be here. Nobody can do this but me, because they set it up that way. Sometimes the burden are created by other people's expectations. Now, the church is an all-volunteer organization. Can I get an amen? I can tell y'all what to do, and y'all can tell me what to do, too. But look over in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Yeah, I didn't want to go too far down that road, Charlie. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. We're all part of one body. We should all work together as a body. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, looking at verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? We all play a part in the body of Christ. So we have the works. We have Miss Martha, who's taking care of everything. And then we have Miss Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. Let me try to think. I had a long night and a short morning. Let me explain this to you. I've seen the churches. I've been places where people come in and they get saddled up, they get harnessed up, and they get put to work. They don't get an opportunity to sit at the feet of Jesus. They just get put to work. I feel funny because I'm repeating some of this from Sunday school, but that's where we are. We have to be careful. We're walking a fine line because there's a line between there's things that need to be done. The trash ought to be taken out before Sunday, right? The grass ought to be cut. We take care of things. It's all going to burn up one day. But you still get up, you make your bed, you still clean your room. You still take care of things. There's things that still need to be taken care of. But when you're taking care of those things, there's other people. People have to walk their own walk. Mary chose the part. She knew in her heart as she sat there and listened to Jesus, she knew their time was short. Martha had chosen, instead of just making sandwiches to hand out so she could sit with Mary, Martha had decided on her own that she was going to do all she could. She was cumbered about with much serving. She was making all of these preparations, and she was doing all of these things, but she was missing out on what Mary was getting. Do you follow me on that? We come up with our own expectation about how things ought to go. We think, well, it needs to be this. And if it does, then you can take care of that yourself. But don't get on someone else. And this isn't a lecture about something that's happened. This is just a sermon. But don't get on someone else that's trying to draw closer to Jesus Christ. There is a fellow that I talked to recently, and I knew him from Lighthouse, and when we went to the summer camp, and he came and he sang, he played guitar, and he had a music ministry. And when I saw him just recently, I said, well, how's the music ministry going? How are you going in that? And he said, you know, I had to back off of that. And he said, because I was getting more involved with that, and I was losing my relationship with the Lord, and I was losing my relationship with the family. He sacrificed that to be with his family and to be with the Lord. We can get so caught up in things, and the devil will help you get busy. We know about that. Those opportunities will come up. I tell you, you'll say, Lord, I'm going to commit time to you. I'm going to commit time to Bible study. I'm going to commit time to your word. I'm going to set this time aside. And be like, oh, squirrel. And we'll forget all about that because something came up in life. Well, here's an opportunity. I'm not saying you had to stay poor, but sometimes that promotion will pull you away. Sometimes something can pull you away. I'm not telling you to stay poor. I'm not telling you that we can't go into the world. We have to. We have to work. We have to take care of things. And we have to look at opportunities. We have to give them some thought. But we got to be careful about how are we choosing. Are we choosing according to God's will, or are we choosing according to the eyes, like Lot, when he looked out on the plains that were well watered? Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. You know, sometimes people come to church, they just need some time to recover. I know there have been times and we've gone to a different church and we just needed a break. Just flat needed a break. Just needed some time to sit at the feet of Jesus. Somebody may have come from a busy church. Somebody may have just shucked off that harness. I don't know how many of you know about that harness, but I know there's a couple of us here that know about it. You get the harness put on you, and all church is about every Sunday is just taking care of things, doing. And you kind of get robbed of the Word of God. Sometimes you just need to sit and hear the Word of God. Some people may be recovering from a bad experience. They might be recovering from a divorce or a family tragedy. Or they may be overcoming something in their life. We never know what's going on in their life. I don't lean on people hard. I don't ever want to be that person. I don't ever want to be Martha. But it's a hard thing sometimes because sometimes you just kind of wish you could get out the prod and just poke somebody a little. But I got to let the Lord do it, and I got to let the Lord work on somebody. And I don't have a right to anyway, and you say amen to that. Amen. The preacher stops at the door, right? Or the, yeah, I feel like I'm digging a ditch.
You lost your shovel.
Oh, that's my wife. Look over in 1 Samuel chapter number 30. Sitting at the feet of Jesus. 1 Samuel chapter number 30. Now, back in here, we're looking at David before he was king. He had his band of men. They come back, and everything, they came back from battle in another place, and when they came back to camp, everything had been taken. Verse number 1, and it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Now, if anything called for action, it was this. If anything called for all of the men to join together to bring back their families, they had a vested interest in everyone participating and going and getting back their families. Their wives, their children had all been taken by the Amalekites. It said, verse number 4, then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. This was a sad time. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelitess. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because of the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons, for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought hither the ephod. Look at verse number 9. This is after David inquired of the Lord. Verse number 8, he says, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So verse number 9, so David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Bezor, where those that were left behind stayed. And David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Bezor. So as pressing as all of this was, there were 200 men in their company that were faint. They were tired. They weren't able to go on. And they stayed by the stuff. Look at verse 21. And David came to the 200 men. This is after they had recovered everything, which were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they had made also to abide by the brook Bezor. And they went forth to meet David and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near the people, he saluted them. And then answered all the wicked men and men of Belial, of those that went with David, and said, because they went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered, save to every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart. Now they're making a point here. The men are like, hey, they didn't fight. They didn't risk their lives. They just stayed here by the brook. They stayed behind. They were too weak. We went out and fought. We went out and fought the battle. We deserve the spoils of war. But we're not going to keep their women and their children. They can have them, but we're going to keep all of the stuff that we got back. Every man that fought, they get a reward. But the ones that stayed there by the stuff at the brook, they didn't do anything. They don't get anything. And look at what David said. Verse 23, then said David, you shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us. You see, David realizes who the glory goes to. David realizes who won the battle for them. It wasn't them. It was God going before them. He said, you shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hand. For who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff. They shall part alike. There's some that are able to step forward and able to do things. There's some that can teach by Sunday school. There's some that can do a little work here, do whatever. I'm just trying to bring it down to practical sense. But then there's others that just need to sit at the feet of Jesus. I told them in Sunday school, I said, you know, my daughter's back there and she's teaching the kids in Sunday school. I'm grateful. I'm glad we got kids. I'm glad we got kids in Sunday school, and I love it. And Morgan's back there and teaching them, and with Megan and sometimes Dee Dee. But I get a little nervous because when somebody's teaching Sunday school, they might not get fed. But I think the case is, it can also be that they're growing and learning God's word in order to teach other people. But we have to be careful. I've seen, and you may see it today, and I don't hold it against anybody. We got to do what we got to do. But, you know, I've seen church services where about halfway through, you know, you're at a jubilee meeting or a revival meeting, and the women will go into the back about 30 minutes before the end of the service and make sure all the food and everything's set up. Sometimes that's got to be done. But as his part is, it stays by the stuff, so is his part it goes. And Mary was learning a little bit at the feet of Jesus. Look over at John chapter 11. That's over in the New Testament. Y'all can laugh, that's okay. If you didn't know, just laugh and pretend you did. John chapter 11, verse number 17. Mary and Martha had a brother named Lazarus. and Lazarus had taken sick. And they came and told Jesus that, and Jesus loved Lazarus. He was a close friend of Jesus. And they came and told Jesus that Lazarus was sick, near unto death. And they tarried a few more days. And verse number 3, therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Verse number 4, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified thereby. There are things that happen in our lives that bring glory to God, whether good or bad. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus said, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. And these things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. And then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest in sleep. And then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. He finds about Lazarus. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Martha was a take-charge kind of person. I'd say a type A personality. So when she sees Jesus out there, the first thing she does is head out there to him. And then she goes out there to him, and she says, then said Martha unto Jesus, verse 21, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And here's Jesus talking to her in plain language. He says, your brother is going to rise again. But she's thinking, well, not in this lifetime. But she says, verse 23, Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she rose quickly and came unto him. Mary had been sitting at the feet of Jesus, and she waited until he called. She's just a little more spiritual. Let's read on. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. And the Jews then which were with him, her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she arose and went up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. So, She was of the same idea. Lord, if you'd only been here, my brother wouldn't have died. But Martha goes up there and takes charge and says, Lord, if you hadn't been here, he wouldn't have died. Mary, when she goes to him, she falls down at his feet. She sat at his feet in the previous chapter. But now she falls down at his feet and worships him and said, Lord, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. Jesus tried to tell Martha, and she said, oh, I know, he'll rise again at the last day. He said, no, he's going to rise. Now, Verse 33, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled and said, where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved them. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even his man should not have died? And Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, coming to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, take ye away the stone. And then Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for that he hath been dead 4 days. Now, just as an aside, when Morgan taught this in Sunday school, the kids were pretty impressed. No, the Bible doesn't really say that, but it does. But Martha can only think about the material. Mary is just watching. Mary has listened to Jesus teach, and Mary knows in her heart he's the Christ, and she watches her Lord and Savior. Her heart is with him. She's quiet. She listens. See, when Martha went up and Jesus was trying to talk to her, you know, they say you got to have 2 ears and 1 mouth. Sometimes people try to tell you something and you're not listening. That never happens to me, but I know it happens to y'all. What was it somebody said? Are you listening to what I'm saying? Or are you just waiting to say what you want to say next? But Martha is that type A personality. She's Johnny on the spot. She's in control. She's taking charge of things. Mary at the feet of Jesus, just waiting on her Lord. Mary sat still in the house. When Martha told her that Jesus called, she ran to meet him. She fell at his feet. Jesus was moved by their weeping. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and save such as be of a contrite spirit. In Psalm 34:18, Psalm 51:17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. She was a testimony to those around her. Said, then many of the Jews which came to Mary had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. Look over in John chapter number 12. John chapter number 12. We saw Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. We saw Mary falling at the feet of Jesus. John chapter number 12. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. And there they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table. We didn't read it, but Jesus brought Lazarus back from the dead. How many didn't know that? I'm being mean. Then took Mary a pound of ointment and spikenard, very costly, and anointed. Let's see. Verse number 2. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. So Martha's back at it. But Lazarus was one of them which sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of ointment. Now there's a lot of preaching in that, but just think about the Mary that sat at the feet of Jesus, the Mary that was learning from Jesus, the Mary that was listening to Jesus. And think about the Martha that was in the kitchen, that was serving, that was worried about getting the pots and the pans cooking, getting everything prepared, getting the silverware laid out. She's worried about all of that. But Mary is listening and she's learning. And I think she realizes something. I think the Lord has taught her something. And as he comes to her, then Mary took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. And then Judas pokes his head up. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Let's finish it out. Then he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always you have with me, but me you have not always. And I swear he said she had done what she could. Mary had listened to Jesus, and she knew something. She knew when the Lord talked about, I must go away. She knew that he would be leaving. She had listened. She had learned. How does this apply to us? This is simple. Very simple and quick. There are some that want to please Jesus by service. There's things that we need to do in the church. There's things that we need to take care of. But it's when those things begin to override your fellowship with God, things kind of begin to slip. It's those who spend their time at the feet of the Lord that learn things for their own life, that learn what God wants for them, that learn what God has for them. And it also builds a worship for them, just like it did for Mary, just like we're talking about in Sunday school, about adding things to your faith. It's those things that draw you closer to the Lord. You wonder why you slip away? When's the last time you picked up the Bible? When's the last time you came to church? You wonder why you're falling back. You wonder why you don't have assurance. You wonder why you keep falling into the same besetting sin. You wonder why you struggle. Are you comforted about with much serving? Are you sitting at the feet of Jesus? And that's where we are. And I know that might be a little confusing. I think it's pretty simple. You either spend time with the Lord and learn from him, or you just get caught up working and falling. Let's then